All right, we're going to start a new series today on the blessed life. I kind of dressed up today. Do I look blessed? You know what I mean? I don't like wearing ties and stuff like that, but I gave in just to, you know. But I'll be honest, there's a lot of people dressed like this are just as broke as everybody else. You know what I mean? You know, they got good bankers or good credit card. And we're going to try to look in Scripture just to kind of see what God says about blessing. God dropped this on my heart last few weeks on the series I've been talking about. I've kind of alluded to this a little bit, so I just thought it'd be good to kind of cover that. So we're going to look at the blessed life. Now, in starting here, would you consider yourself to be a blessable person? Are you a blessable person? Meaning, based on how you live your life or what you do for God, are you worthy of God's blessing in your life? We all want that blessed life from God, but you know, how do we get it? It's even possible to even live a blessed life in the world we live in. There's a lot of stuff going on around the world that tries to, you know, deter us, isn't it? Now, the word blessing is used over 7,000 times in the Bible. And we're going to explore what the blessings are and you know, how do we receive them? How do we get them in our life? So, the scripture we're going to look at today, and we're going to do this probably three weeks at least, maybe four, is in Genesis chapter 12, 1 to 3, and we're talking about Abraham. Now, many of you know who Abraham is, but really, Abraham, I just want to throw this out there, was a predecessor to the law. See, Abraham cut a covenant with God, and then just a little bit after that, along came Moses and the law. And so it was a different system. So we are tied in to the blessing of Abraham. And then the law was given later for another reason. We'll go into that later. But Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 3 says, it says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you. And I will make your name great. And you will be a blessing. And I will bless those that bless you. And the one who curses you, I will curse. In all you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your anointing that's here today. The Holy Spirit, the teacher, the revealer, the one who leads us to the place that we need to be. Lord God, we know that you have so many great and mighty things for us that you want to reveal to us, Lord. We put ourselves right now in a position to receive. Lord, we just humble ourselves. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. This just cleanses us. And we release anything that's holding us back. Lord, I yield to the gift you give me. I use it for glory. And Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I don't want to throw something in here. He wasn't Abraham right here, was he? He was Abram. Now, what that means is the fact that God had not cut covenant with him yet. That won't be till another couple chapters. But, so his name was Abram. But then after God cut a covenant with him, he became Abraham, and that's really another story in itself, but I just want to throw that out there. All right, now sin, as we know, had entered the human race back in the Garden of Eden. So every since the fact that sin had come into mankind, people had been living under a curse. So maybe you're here today and you feel like you have a curse on you. I mean, sometimes it feels like that, doesn't it? You know, you get a flat tire, car breaks down, you know, just a lot of different things going on. And it just feels like we have a cursed life, but, you know, I want us to see that we have something different. So the idea here is the curse that dominated your life, and if you had that, and you were powerless to overcome it. There's nothing that you and I can do in our own natural tendencies, really, to break that curse. You know, and what happened is then the plan of God unfolded. And the Abrahamic covenant, you know, takes up this promise of blessing. And that's what we're going to look at today. Now, there was another covenant before that a little bit. Noah, remember him? He had a covenant. God promised what? That he would give us a rainbow? Yeah. But what did that rainbow mean? It meant that he would never flood the earth like that again. So there was a covenant cut. But here's the covenant that you and I mean, that's a blessing. I mean, like I said, I've never known for my swimming, so I'm glad the water don't get too deep around here when it rains. But I will say this, you know, the blessing of Abraham that is passed down to you and I is something that we can really start to walk in and start to have operating in our life. And that's what I want us to get to. So the blessing of Abraham. See, Abraham, a little bit about him, it says here in that passage, it says that he was willing to obey and follow God anywhere. He is willing to walk away from his family and to go into a new place where he'd never been before. And that would be kind of scary, you know, a little bit, in the sense where, you know, God is telling you just to go off and, you know, they didn't have maps and stuff like we have now, or you can't Google it and get a picture of where you're going. But God says, I want you to leave your family. And maybe why God wanted to do that is the fact that, you know, in his family they had, you know, false idols and false gods they kind of worshipped and things like that. So God knew that that would probably taint his thinking. So God wanted to pull him aside and to put him in another place. And I believe that's what God wants to do you and I sometimes. We need to walk away from them old influences in our life to get us to a new place where God can start to reveal himself to us in a special way so that we can start to tap into the things that he has. Okay, a few things why God chose Abraham. God saw that Abraham had a heart of faith. He could easily just trust God. And you, as you look through Scripture, you just look at some of the passages that deal with him, just how he's willing to do anything God told him. I mean, Abraham was willing to follow God that time when he was told to offer up his son Isaac, the one he had been waiting for years. He was willing to give him up and to offer him as a sacrifice to God. He just trusted God for the most part. We're going to look at a time that he didn't. For the most part, he just trusted God. He just believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, in the New Testament says. So he had this uncanny ability, and that's something that we need to try to learn how to do, is to get to the area of trust. Now, God, after the Garden of Eden, where he kicked Adam and Eve out of the garden, and the curse came, and you know all the things that going on with the curse, the pain in childbirth, and by the sweat of the brow you're going to be doing, you know, have to tend to the ground and things like this. But what God was wanting to do, he was looking for a representative of mankind to step up on behalf of mankind to be able to follow God. You know, Noah did that. I mean, he built a boat long before it rained. God's looking for people like that. People that'll just, you know, listen to God and hear God's voice, and then just step out and want to follow him. So here Abraham was another person that was willing to do that. Now, not till later did God cut the covenant with him, but this is a test, and it got Abraham along the way because he was looking for someone he could cut covenant with. A covenant, as we know, is a binding contract. When you go to do some legal proceedings, some of you have maybe gotten a lawyer involved in some things, and they draw us up this document, and it's worded in such a way that it's, you know, never supposed to be broken, and things like this, you know. But there's a covenant that we cut with God, and it's more powerful than any lawyer could ever build, any lawyer could ever make. And that's the covenant that he made with mankind. And it started with Abraham, and then it was fulfilled through Jesus Christ. Now, sometimes it just takes one person to step out from the crowd. We need to be that one person. We need to be that person that'll take God at his word. And I want to challenge you today, if God has been speaking to your heart, you know, you need to make that step. Now, one thing I like to see about this too is that Abraham was going to be blessed to be a blessing. I don't know about you, wouldn't you like to be a blessing to other people around you? But how can you be a blessing if you're not blessed? That's hard. So we need to learn how to get blessed so we can be a blessing. One thing that's interesting in this passage too, a little side note, it says, whoever curses you, I'm going to curse. Because when somebody curses those who God has blessed, they get into trouble. And there's a lot of other passages that talk about Balaam had the same issue going on in his life. So he said here that he was going to be a great nation. Now you have to remember, Abraham had no children yet. He was childless. He had a nephew, and the nephew was kind of dicey, wasn't he? I mean, if you look in Scripture, he was kind of selfish and made some bad choices. But he had no children yet, and God come up and said, hey, you're going to be a great nation. I mean, I'm sure that just expanded his mind saying, whoa, what's going on here? I'm nobody. I have no kids. Well, I have some stuff, but I have no kids. So how can I be a great nation? But see, God had a plan, and that plan was later on revealed. So it says that through Abraham, all the earth was going to be blessed. Now, what that's talking about, he was talking about his seed. Now, through the nation of Israel, there is a blessing if we bless Israel. But the main blessing it's talking about here is through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was born in this lineage from the tribe of Judah. And all the families of the earth had the potential of being blessed. And that's by accepting Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And so this all happened because one man was willing to step out from the crowd and to follow God explicitly and to see where God would lead him. And that's what we need to do. We need to be willing to follow God and to see what God's going to do in our life. And a lot of great things is going to start to happen. Now, with this, there was somewhat of a conditional blessing. It wasn't just automatic. You know, God told Abraham, if you do this, I'll do that. Now, what did he tell him? He said, first you got to pick up and you got to leave. You got to go to this new place. So Abraham had to do something to be able to tap into that blessing. And we're going to look as this series unfolds that there are things that we need to do to be able to tap into the blessings of God. Some blessings are free. They're by grace. Some blessings are by obedience. And we have to figure out which ones are which and how we can tap into those. Okay? So Abraham had to separate himself, and then he walked in that blessing. Now, what I see is Abraham had to do a small thing, and then God was going to do a big thing. We got to remember that, who we're dealing with here. I don't know about you, but if you're going to do business with somebody, do business with somebody big. You know, and that's God's big. We just do little things. We give our puny little life to Him, and God is willing to give His great life to us. If you think about it, look what you have to offer God, and look what God has to offer you. That's the kind of people. I mean, we married up when we come into the family of God. We became the bride of Christ. And we tapped into a system that is far greater than anything we could ever imagine. So we need to understand that just one small sacrifice can turn into a huge blessing. Now, Abraham started out from scratch, right? Now, we have the benefit. Hopefully, we've been around long enough, and we've been listening to God's word and hearing God's word, and we kind of understand, because we can look backwards and be able to see how these things work. Hindsight's 20/20, right? But Abraham had some things to learn about blessing. Now, one thing that he messed up on, see, God told him to go to the land of Canaan, correct? But he went there, and then there became a drought. And evidently, he got into a little bit of fear about God's provision, whatever the situation was, so then he went to Egypt. Okay? Like us, sometimes God wants us to step out and do something, then it gets a little bit hard, so then we made a detour, right? Well, he went down there, and for whatever reason, now Sarah was up probably 65 years old, and evidently she was quite a looker. You know what I mean? And the people of Egypt there, they had their eye on her. So Abraham told her, his wife, tell everybody you're my sister, not my wife. And technically it was true. Now, I don't want to gross anybody out. It was his half-sister. They had the same dad, but different moms. And evidently, I wouldn't go down that road, but that's just the way they did it back then, and that's just the way it was. So, but when he did that, you know, it really is a lack of trust, because he didn't understand God totally yet. He was just learning, just like you and I are. We make mistakes while we're learning, don't we? So he made that decision, and then for whatever reason, Pharaoh found out, and he got the Egyptian leader got a curse on his household. And evidently they figured out what the situation was and said, why did you lie? Somebody, you know, but God had protected Sarah, even in Abraham's unbelief, because the Bible said that through Abraham and Sarah was going to come the promise. So God kept the Egyptian men from sleeping with her. So that would have polluted the situation. So even though we make mistakes, God has the ability to turn these situations around and watch over us and protect us so that we can walk, you know, in that blessing, you know, that he was. Because Sarah was earmarked to be a covenant girl, right? So God still hung in there with Abraham. And I want us to know that God's going to hang in there with you and me. He's not kicking us to the curb just because we make a mistake. And a lot of people feel that's what happens. is that when they make a mistake, that God's going to withhold something from them just to teach them a lesson. And, you know, we do need to pay attention to learn things, but God is a loving God. Now, I want to jump to the New Testament, found in Galatians. And this explains that part where all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. And this is where you and I can tap into this. Remember, along came Abraham. He trusted God. The Bible says he trusted God and was reckoned to him as righteousness, or right standing with God. After that came the law, because the people just didn't want to pay attention. You know, so God had to send the law to show them that they could never get good enough for God. And hopefully we've come to that conclusion that by our own merits, we cannot get good enough for God, okay? So that's why the law came. Well, now came Jesus Christ. So he kind of jumped over the law. He fulfilled it for us, but really he's tapping into Abraham. That's what we're going to see here. Excuse me. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. It says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, okay? Having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. In order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Well, see, there's a beautiful little nugget in God's Word for you and I. It's something that God wants to give us, wants us to understand, wants us to receive, how we can tap into these things. And it's talking about the blessing that comes through Christ. Now, I thank God I don't have to go to hell. Believe me, from what I read about hell, it is no place to go. You don't want to go there. You don't want anybody you know to go there. Technically, you shouldn't even want your enemies to go there. You know what I'm saying? If we're really walking in love. But here, it talks about something more than just not having to go to hell. And that comes from us learning to understand what it means to be in Christ. There's a key word right there. You ought to put parentheses around it if you're writing that down. In Christ, because we've been put in Christ. It's kind of like when you get married, you're put into that family. So we've been put into the family of God. And that's where we reside right now. Now, the blessing that came through Christ is the fact that Jesus became a curse for us by hanging on a tree. Now, we deserved the curse. We deserve nothing but the curse because we're a sinner and we have that sin nature. But Jesus took the curse so that we could get the blessing, okay? So he took our place, he paid the price so that you and I could be able to tap in to the blessing that he has for us. Remember, the word blessing has been used in Scripture 7,000 times. So something that's been used that much, there must be something to it. God wants us to be able to evidently enjoy or partake of some of the good things that God has for us. You know, serving God is awesome. It's something that we should just long to do and to be a part of that family and to step out of the world system, because there's only two systems functioning on this planet at this time. We have the world system, which is dominated by the devil and his followers, and everybody who doesn't know Jesus Christ is part of that system. We're born into that system. You can't help it. You can't help who your parents are, can you? Right? You can't help your family. You can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family, right? Well, we're born into that system. So in order to be born again, we must be born again, and then we can be put into this other system, the God system. And see, it's not automatic. We have to learn how to function in that system. And I don't want to say there's tricks, but there's things that we need to know and things that we need to do to be able to enjoy the fullness of that blessing, right? Now, if I deposited $20,000 into your bank account, would you be blessed? I think so. Now, some of you, that's just chump change, I know. But I mean, to me, that's a pretty good chunk of money. But if you never go up and take any money out of that account or never check that account, you would never get to enjoy that blessing. And see, God has put things into our account just because we're related now. But we need to learn how to bring those out. And how we do that is through God's Word. The Scripture reveals some things on how we're supposed to function. So Jesus took the curse so that we could get the blessing. Basically, it's through faith. You have to believe. It's not automatic. I mean, technically, it's all been paid for. And what I mean by that, Jesus took the curse legally off the table. You know what that means. Legally, He did it. Legally, it's been paid for. But yet, there's so many Christians today still not functioning in the realm of blessing. They're operating with a curse upon their life because they have cursed thinking. They're thinking they deserve the bad and not the good. You know, why do some people, you know, pick the wrong people in their life? Because that's all they can figure that they can fit in with. So, but we need to see ourselves in a different light. You know, God loves us so much and He has so many great things that He wants to do because, you know, there's a difference between a legal aspect of something and an experiential aspect of something. You know, legally, we may have certain rights and privileges. You know, legally, you may be married, but you may not experience marriage unless you choose to get along and cohabit with each other, right? You know, we could easily, you know, just get married and go off and even live in another country and go off and do other things. We're married legally on paper, but you don't have a very good marriage. You have a terrible marriage, right? God wants us to have a good marriage with our spouse, but God wants us to have a great marriage between us and Him where we can learn to be a part of that family and to enjoy all the blessings. I mean, it just amazes me. And some people get, you know, they're really blessed or fortunate. You know, they marry somebody that, let's say, I'm just going to use money as an example now. You can get the poorest person on the earth and they marry the richest person. And I'll tell you what, their life's changing. They have access to things they never knew was possible. You know, well, they used to just go to garage sales. Now they can go to a real store. You know what I'm saying? They can go buy some new clothes. And they can go eat at some nice restaurants. And they can, you know, just enjoy living in a house that has a roof that doesn't leak. Why? Because they entered into a covenant relationship with somebody that was above them. And that's what we did when we entered in that with God. God is above us, so we tap in. He gets all our stuff. How many would love to trade what you got with what God got has? You know what I'm saying? I know that's not very English. I know some of you guys are starting to persecute me in your mind, my English language sometime. But, you know, I speak American, you know, Southern Iowa, out in the country, boy. Okay, so He took that curse off. So the difference in that legal experience. So we want to be able to learn how to experience it. See, Jesus broke the curse, like I said, but many live under a curse. Not the curse. The curse has been broken. But it seems like we live under a part of that curse due to unbelief. And that's why we need to get in the Word of God. You know, we keep stressing that over and over, but the importance of it, you know, we get so busy, it's hard to take time to spend time with God. You know, but we need to make time. And by doing that, it changes the way we think. Now, Jesus paved the way for the blessing of Abraham to come upon us. And that's what He came to do. Now, this is just amazes me. I get amazed pretty easy sometimes. But this promise to Abraham was made over 2,000 years before Jesus came and fulfilled it. Now, that's a long time, in my opinion. That's quite a sprinkle of time. But yet, in our mind, you know, see, that's why the Bible, to me, is one of the most amazing books that's ever been put together. Is the fact how God would just say this is going to happen and it would be 2,000 years later. I mean, how many knows that most people would forget things after 2,000 years? You know what I mean? They would just, yeah. Some things, people forget things after yesterday, you know? I can't remember some of that stuff. But 2,000 years, God said, you know, that through your seed, all the families of the earth's going to be blessed. Along came Jesus. According to God's timing. And then we know what happened. See, it just reveals that foreknowledge of God. See, God knows your future. He knows what your choices you're going to make, but He gives you the right to choose those choices. And God has great things for you. He wants you to tap into those things. We just need to stay close to God. So it reveals that God is a faithful God. So God is patient, but He will also fulfill that promise. And the greatest promise, I know we may not feel that, but the promise that He gave us is the promise of the Spirit. The promise of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. We have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We all know about Him. But evidently God, in His infinite wisdom and His foreknowledge, knew, and that's why He gave the law. See, the law came to show us that we can't keep the law. The law came to show us that we're not good enough. So He knew that He had to get Himself inside of us so that then we could be able to walk in His power and in His blessing. And that all came through Jesus Christ and the promise of the Spirit, that He gave the Holy Spirit to His people. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would only come every now and then. And I'll be honest, there's some things, you know, like when they were building the tabernacle. Remember that? You know, that's when they, you know, built the Ark of the Covenant, and then they built the tent, and they did all that final stuff. And they had this guy. God just put an anointing on him, so he had very artistic abilities. And he could take a piece of gold that was all one piece and beat it around and do some things and, you know, just make something. That amazes me, because I can't do nothing. You know, I can do some things, but artistic is not me. But see, that was the Spirit of God. So in the Old Testament, every now and then, the Holy Spirit would come up on somebody and they could do something that they normally couldn't do. But see, in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And so He's in us, and I believe that we can do stuff that we normally couldn't do now. And we can do it more. All we have to do is yield and to tap into Him. Now, I'm not saying you can be a brain surgeon. Don't go crazy on me and thinking all that stuff, you know. But I'm just saying, for the things that God has called you to do, God has put inside you the ability to do them, no matter what it is. He's put that ability inside of you. And that's why He wants us to be able to tap into that. So the promise of the Spirit. And so here in this passage, we're going to look at this from two different ways, not today, but we have the spiritual blessing and we have the natural blessing. You know, we kind of seek the natural blessing quite a bit. So the same Spirit that worked in Jesus is working through you and I right now. There's only one Holy Spirit. So we have that life-giving Spirit dwelling inside of us, so we have the potential to turn any situation around. Any circumstance can change. We can see God move a miracle in our life just because of the fact that God is inside of us. I want us to think about something right now. We are more blessed than we think. And I don't think we think right all the time. I really don't believe in my heart, because I know that I don't. I forget how blessed I am. And I go through life and thinking, oh, this could be better, that could be better, boo-hoo-hoo. And I forget how blessed I really am. And if I remember how blessed I am, it changes my whole atmosphere in my life. It changes the way that I look at life and the way that I deal with other people. You know what I'm saying? So think about that a little bit. Now, the last passage I want to look at today is Ephesians chapter 3. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Now, this is where we're going to get into the benefits of blessing, okay? So it says here in verse 3 in Ephesians chapter 1, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us," get it right here, "every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." So there's benefits of blessing. So I wanted to see today, and I wanted to start off here, because a lot of times in our culture, we get kind of hung up on stuff. You know what I mean? So we measure how blessed we are by how much stuff we have. But we're going to look at the spiritual blessings first to kind of hopefully keep our heart and our attitude right. So the benefits of blessing. So spiritual blessing precedes material blessing. Now, what we need to do is seek God's heart, not just God's hand. See, God's hand is extending blessings to us. And so if we get so blessing, it's kind of like the rat in the maze. If we do certain things, we know we get a little treat. You know what I'm saying? And that's what some people's relationship, especially if they just see God as a money bag or something like that, that's how they view their relationship. But see, we need to see it in a different way, the fact that we tap into God's heart. So blessing is more than stuff, and we miss it when we only look to the hand of God and not the heart of God. And see, we are blessed when our happiness is independent of our circumstances, and that's what I want to see us get to. See, when our happiness is not based on what we're driving, what we're wearing, where we're living, you know, what we're doing, it's based on that relationship with God and that spiritual plane, you know, that we can tap into to be able to start to see and to manifest the glories of God upon this earth, because we are His chosen people. We're the people He's called out of the world for His possession. When we start to function, when the church starts to operate on all cylinders, then we start to operate with His power. And we start to see change happen, life change happen, you know, in all ways. And we need to do that. So as we see some of the spiritual blessings, now in this passage, I'm going to read a few of the blessings. Now, right on past verse 3, you know, going on down maybe to verse 14, it lists quite a few blessings. But I just want to touch on maybe five. Five blessings that God has given us here in the spiritual realm, a spiritual blessing that we need to be aware of so that we think we're blessed. Number one, in verse 4, it mentions that we've been chosen. Have you ever felt chosen before? Not the frozen chosen, you know what I'm saying? That's a church down the road. No, I'm just kidding. You know, some churches are the frozen chosen. They don't want nobody coming in. They don't want anybody to be a part of nothing. You know, they just want to keep things like they have it. No, we need to, what this is talking about, we've been chosen before the foundation of the world. You know, we've been selected by God to be His very own. To be His very own. You know, it's here it's talking about people, not just a person. This is talking about Christians right here. Some people allude that this is talking about, you know, it's talking about just a person, that some people are chosen for heaven and some people are chosen for hell. God's not like that. There are some scriptures that you can read that into, but if you look at the whole counsel of God, you know, God's trying to get everybody into the kingdom. Not everybody's going to make it, but only the ones. Now, we step into our chosen status when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord. And that's how you tap into that chosen status. So you could feel chosen right now if you're a Christian. You should feel chosen. Chosen by God. God wants to reveal things through the church, the body of people that have come into covenant relationship with God. So we're the chosen of God, and you should wear that proudly. Next, in verse 4 and 5, it says, we've been predestined unto adoption as children. Now, you know, predestined means to mark out beforehand. Means we've been brought into His family and given full status and privileges of sonship. So when you're bringing somebody in your family, like I said, you can't pick your family unless you adopt them, right? Correct? You know, if you, what comes out, that's just yours. You can't change that. But if you can go to the store and you can pick somebody you want, that's adoption. And see, that's what God did for us. He picked us. He chose to adopt us and to be a part of His family. He had one only begotten Son, and that was Jesus Christ. But He wanted more. He wanted you, and He wanted me to come into that family. So we've been adopted and brought into that relationship, and we have full status, meaning that we have all the full status and privileges of sonship, what it means to be a child of God. We don't have to scrimp and save and crawl our way into God's house, but we're there because we've been born again into that family. Next, in verse 6, it says that we've been accepted. You know, a lot of people have acceptance issues, but here it says we've been accepted in the beloved, because a lot of people struggle with acceptance. They go through life figuring they don't measure up to everybody else, so they struggle with this acceptance issue. And they just don't feel like they fit in, and they feel like they're broken, and they feel like nobody cares, and that they're just not good enough. But I want us to know today, as far as God's concerned and as far as I'm concerned, you're accepted. We accept you here, but more importantly, God accepts you into His family, and that you're a part of the kingdom of God. And you know, this should erase all doubt about our acceptance in Christ. Because I do know what it's like back when I first started dabbling in Christianity. I struggled with this thought a little bit. Because I wasn't totally surrendered yet to Christ. And I would kind of dabble with it a little bit, and I just didn't feel quite good enough. You know what I mean? I just didn't feel like I could fit in or measure up. But that's when I accepted Jesus, I understood it's not about how I feel. It's about what God says. And it changed the way that I look at life. We all know that when we doubt, we go without, right? So we need to get rid of that doubt out of our life for good. Fourthly, verse 7, it says, we've been redeemed and all our sins have been forgiven. It doesn't matter what you've done or going to do. The power of Christ's blood is more powerful than any sin that you can commit. There's nothing that you can do that Christ's blood can't erase and totally take out of your life. He doesn't cover it up, He destroys it. And that's the power of redemption. Redeem means to buy back or to release by ransom. Many people are held in bondage, a bondage in their mind and their heart, and they just feel that, you know, all this burden of the things they've done. It's like in the old days, they used to tie tin cans on the car when they got married, and we're dragging all this baggage behind us. But through the blood of Christ, that just severs, and we go free. And we've been released. Our price has been paid. We don't have to worry about it again. And lastly, in verse 13 and 14, it says, we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You know, we don't, you know, we're not in a relationship with God where there's a leak. You know what I mean? Have you ever had a leak in something? You put something in the refrigerator and it's got a leak, and before you know it, all that stuff's everywhere. Our seal can't be broken. As far as any outward influence, any effort from the devil or anything else cannot break that seal that we have in Christ. And so we can have a trust in that because we're sealed with the Spirit of promise. And we should have security in our heart that we belong to Him, that we're property of the Most High. So there are just five of the spiritual gifts that this passage is talking about. There's several more in there. I encourage you to read this on your own. Now, Abraham's obedience started the process. Jesus' obedience paved the way. And then by our obedience, we walk in the blessing. And that's where we're going to head as we go through this series. Let's pray.